Amen. Good to have you. Amen. Thank you. There are ways to be successful. There's a lot of men that are very successful in their business they do. We watch our new president, who is a very successful businessman years ago, and he has been very successful. There's a lot of other people who are very successful in business. They know how to turn a dollar. They know how to make money. We know some men that have very successful in medicine. They have invented medicines that can cure people, chemists and things. We see in the medical field, they've been able to put new knees in you, new shoulders in you, new hips in you, amen. And they've been very successful. But if a father is going to be successful in the area of being a good father, there are certain things that he must do. I want to be a good father. I'm more a grandfather than a father anymore. We find out that when our children leave the home, they no more are under our responsibility, quote unquote. We're to pray for them, but that's about all you can do. You want to give them advice, but you can't give advice till they ask you for it. That's a smart thing for you fathers to remember, amen. They want to tell you some things, but a good father just stands back and lets them dig a hole and fall in it for a while. And then they finally say, Dad, what do you think I ought to do? Oh, this is what I do. Oh, man, why didn't you tell me that? Well, you didn't ask me. Okay. So good fathers, to be successful, have to be very careful about certain things. They cannot deviate. They cannot swerve or contradict. They cannot wander or depart or shift nor sway from the life that their father, their children have heard them say and seen them do. It's very important to be very careful about that. We are consistent. I had a great compliment. One of my boys introduced me someplace, and he said, one thing about my dad, he was the same at the church as he was at home. That's a good compliment, amen. That just made me really feel well, that he could see. You know, kids can see you. They're God's spies in the home, amen. They see everything you do. If you make one little mistake, they're going to remind you, amen, because we do the same thing to them, right? And so they take that as a bargaining tool, unfortunately. And so as a father, we have to be very careful that we don't swerve from the things we said we believe. We have to be very careful that we do not contradict the things that we have been saying. And now the $64,000 question, how do fathers in today's wicked world to keep their wits about them and maintain their godly attitude in the way of life? How does he live the way he wants his children to live? That's very difficult in the life of the world today. In essence, the father, a good father, and to be honest with you, I wanted to be a great father. According to the Holy Bible, to be a good father depends on your constant, diligent, constant persistence, and your constant consistency of life. They're watching you. They're watching you. Hey, don't do as I do as I say. You've heard all that, you know, but unfortunately, they're going to do what you do. And they always do a little worse. Very interesting. Unfortunately, we see today, as it has been in the time past, that there are fathers that do not want to be faithful. They do not want the responsibility, nor are they willing to take time to do it. It takes a lot of time to raise kids. It takes a lot of time to raise boys and girls, amen. It takes a lot of your time. And one of the predominant facts in life is that many fathers, they get married young and they haven't grown up yet. And they're still kids themselves, and they still love their toys and their possessions. That things mean more to them than their children mean to them. And they leave their kids and go play with the boys, and unwilling to include their children in their fun. And may I encourage you men, grow up. You've had your time to play. You say, well, I didn't have much time to play. Well, then make sure your children learn that you're going to help them to play, amen. You got to let your kids play with you. You got to just do it. It's important for you to do that. First of all, if you want to be a good father, you must learn from the greatest place of all, and that's the Word of God. You ought to read your Bible every day to be a good father. You have to learn your God-given responsibilities of being a father. Scripture will teach you to be a good man, and it will in turn teach you how to become a good father. Paul the Apostle wrote to church at Corinth, and he told them that the life of a Christian has to be one that's under control. I see a lot of people out of control. I mean, just flat out, flipped out of control. They're just out of control. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, if you are a good father, you know you're going to be preaching. You're preaching all you good preachers. Good preachers, fathers are good preachers. And they have to preach. They have to teach. They have to scold. They have to encourage. They have to shove. They have to push. They have to pull. They have to prod. That's really the preacher's job, he meant. And that's a father's job, too. Paul wrote in Ephesians the same thing over to the church of Colossae. He said in Colossians 3:5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And Paul wrote here, he said, listen, these are the things that you're going to fall into. These are the problems that we as human beings continue to, Satan is, praise us with these things and keeps us at it. Paul wrote to the son of Timothy, the faith, and he wrote, and Timothy was around 40 years old when he wrote this, flee also the youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, and charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He said, these are the things you need to chase after. You need to chase after faith, righteousness, charity, and peace. And these are things God calls you to. And as you raise these children up, you're being very careful that you mortify your body, your member, the body to these things that should not be done, and you push yourself to do the things that you're supposed to do. Peter wrote to the strangers dispersed throughout Pontus and Galatia, and chiefly Jews in Asia and Minor, how they ought to behave themselves. Yet, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against your soul, or the soul. There's a war that is constantly on me. I'm constantly battled with these things. I'm constantly battled with the first Colossians chapter 3:5, where I have to mortify your members of this body. There are certain things I have to fight all the time. I mean, it's hand-to-hand combat. Satan is trying to get everything he can to destroy me. Because if he destroys me, he's going to destroy my children. He can destroy my wife. They watch me and see me and they see how I'm acting. And they're going to go through those things. Maybe not yet. There's certain things that kids don't go through. But they're going to watch daddy go through those things and how he performs and how he acts and how he doesn't act and how he doesn't perform. They watch that. And they're very careful. You know, children are very keen about those things. If all of us would be honest today, we would have to acknowledge that our lives are very inconsistent. As hard as we try and hard as we may, we always keep stumbling. Amen or oh me. Let me let you in on a little secret and show you that the humans of the Bible also had struggles. You think of Samson. He was the judge of Israel, possibly the strongest man that ever lived on planet Earth. His father's name was Manoah. According to the Bible, he was a half-hearted father. I don't want to be a half-hearted father. And Samson's mother, she had a great attention to God, and he asked God, how can I raise this son? And God answered her, and the angel came to her. And she had to go to Manoah, and she had to lead him. And notice the angel had said, I already told your wife how to raise your child. That's in Judges 13:13. That's my rendition of it. He said, hey, you don't ask me. I've already told your wife how to do it. God have mercy. If I don't get words from God to raise my children, I don't want my wife having to get words from God. I want to get to God. She says, I'm the father. By the way, I will stand before holy God how I led my children in my home. Not the wife. It's the father's job. It's your responsibility. Don't kick it under the rug. Don't shove it under the table. Don't shut it up in the closet. It's your job, man. It is your job to be the man of the home. And your children watch you. Thank God for women, because they come over there and they put their arm around the wounded, and they love them up, amen. But Dad's there; he's gonna make sure that things are going right, amen. He's the judge and executioner and the lawyer, amen. Gentlemen, one of the greatest tragedies of life is a father who are unwilling to take their God-given responsibility of the home and not to be the father of a child that needs. That child needs a father very, very much. One of the grandest and the greatest tools of the Lord is an honest man, an honest husband, and an honest father. There's no greater tool in God's hand than a man who's honest. There have been times in my life when I've disciplined my children and found out that I was wrong. Found out it was the other one. And I had to go to that boy and I had to apologize. That doesn't make you weak. It makes you strong. Son, I'm sorry. I thought you did it. It looked like you did it. Everything pointed towards you did it, and that's why I disciplined you. But I'm sorry. And one of my boys said, well, Dad, probably some of the times that I didn't get caught, so I'll take that one. That's pretty nice, huh? One of the greatest tools of the Lord is an honest man, an honest husband, honest father. Would everybody say amen to that? But one of the most damning tools is the devil. To the civilization is lazy, no good, good for nothing, unbelieving, unhelping, unguiding, uncaring fathers who have no time for fathering, unwilling to train their children. That's a damning tool of the devil. Unwilling, lazy. Hey, it takes a lot of work to take care of kids. Good night. I told my wife when we first got married, honey, if you give me boys, I'll take care of them. You give me girls, you take care of them. She gave me three boys. I'll guarantee you, I diapered my boys more than my wife did. I spent an awful lot of time with my boys. I learned a long time. You spent a lot. My daddy had the privilege of being a farmer, and so I was always with my dad. I rode the tractor when I was 3 years old. I was with him all the time. I rode in the truck in the old pickup. We chased sheep. We herded up the cattle. We fed the pigs. We picked chicken first time I went to take the eggs out of the chicken coop. The old hen grabbed me and grabbed a hold of my skin and rattled like that. She just like that. Man, I tell you, that hurt. I told my dad about it. He said, I'll take care of it. He went in there, grabbed that old hen by the neck and just pulled it out. I said, now I'll take care of those eggs. Amen. He's just teaching me how to be a man, amen? You see, I hurt the chicken. We ate it. But anyway, real gentlemen do everything they can to train their children right. Before I went to work, I worked at a construction company. My dad said, oh, listen now, I'm going to tell you, there's a couple of things that you did on me, and I don't want you to get caught. They'll ask for the left-handed monkey wrench. There's not such a thing as a left-handed monkey wrench. And they'll ask for the left-handed nails. And he said, they'll ask for the sky hook. And wouldn't you know, the first day I'm on the job, and this guy said, hey, Sheriff, can you go over in the tool truck and give me sky hook. Go get the sky hook. And I said, and so when the guy said, I said, I looked for that the other day. I couldn't find it. Maybe you ought to better go get it. He laughed at me. He said, he punched me in the arm and said, you're an okay kid. I'm glad my dad taught me that. I'd probably been there all week looking for that thing. Rock of Ages. In the Rock of Ages at the prison ministry, one of our chaplains were talking to me, and they said, something happened the other day. Very interesting. He said that a chaplain had some boxes of Mother's Day cards, and he went into the detention center and asked any of the men if they'd like to have a box of Mother's Day cards. And he said they did, and of course in a detention center you know that word gets around. And all of a sudden he had to go buy two more boxes of them, of these Mother's Day cards, and they all signed them and sent them to their mother. So he thought, I'll get the jump on this thing. I'm going to buy a bunch of Father's Day cards. And he went in the week before Father's Day and said, fellas, I have Father's Day cards. And this is what he said. Not a one of them asked for a Father's Day card. I would hope, as a father, that my children would honor me enough just to give me a Father's Day card. Understand that the time that I put into my boys to raise them to be men. There's a sad that, to me, that broke my heart. Because I like being a dad. I like to be a father. And for them, not a one of them asked for it. I want to list a few things that characterize a true father. First of all, a true father must have character. Now, I've met a lot of you, and a lot of you quote characters, amen? But they ought to have character. Character is the man that turns the light off, even though nobody's there. He turns the light off. He turns the light off. He picks up things that are on the floor. He has character enough to realize that, hey, if he sees it, it's his responsibility, amen? He has enough character in the morning to get up and pull even though it's cold, he pulls up the car hood and looks under the car, looks into there and pulls the dipstick out and make sure the oil's right. He's the guy to make sure there's enough gas in the car and mama don't have to put the gas in the car. He's the guy to make sure the tire's okay. He's the guy that has enough character to make sure the dog is fed and make sure even though it's a kid's job, he makes sure the dog is fed. And if it's not fed, he feeds the dog and then spanks the kid in the morning, amen. But anyway. That's character, amen. Secondly, he ought to have determination. I'm going to get this job done. I'm going to get this job done. He ought to have a list of things in his life. He's going to have the job done. What are you doing? You're teaching the kids. Number three, you ought to teach them that work is fun. My father told me this. He said, son, everybody's one man's work is another man's fun. He said, you see those guys out there golfing? He said, you know, for some people, that's fun. They go out there and golf and play a game and then go home. But he said, there's some guys that have a work to do it. They work. They told me Tiger Woods used to have 360 balls a day. What did he become? Become the greatest champion of golf. Why? Because he worked at it. One man's fun is another man's game. He said, you see these guys out fishing? He said, some guys go out fishing for a day and they have a good time. But he said, there's some people that fish all the time. That's their job. So he said, one man's work is another man's play. So he said, why don't you make your work your play? I thought that's a great idea, amen. Man needs to have assurance. You ought to know you're saved. You ought to know your children ought to know that you're on your way to heaven. Children ought to know that they don't have to worry about if daddy dies, and we know that he's on his way to heaven, amen. Man ought to be bold. Man ought to be quiet. Know when to be quiet, amen. There are some people just kind of yak, yak, yak all the time. Just constantly, constantly. Talk about anything and nothing they're saying, you know. You ought to be bold, but you ought to be quiet. You ought to have certainty. I know how to do it. How to have confidence. How to have confidence. The other day, they couldn't get the fans going on the new bus out there. And I said, just a minute. I went there and I said, man, I've driven this bus. I don't remember. I haven't driven that white bus for a long time. I brought it home. That's about as all I drove it. But I know there's a few things about it, and I had confidence. I walked in there, and I had the driver get up out of there, and he said, I can't find it. I look around, and all of a sudden I realize they hadn't turned on the key. But it took me about 5 minutes to find that out. But I wasn't going to give up until I had fans on that bus, amen. Confidence. Man ought to be courageous. I'm going to tell you something. You are responsible to take care of your family. It's your responsibility to take care of your family. Protect them, amen. You ought to know how to make decisions. Honey, where should we go out to eat? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Well, just pick something. There's one of my friends up at the sheriff's office. I said, hey, you want to go out to eat? Yeah, where do you want to go? And then I'll say, well, let's go. No, I've been there yesterday. Well, let's go. I've been there. He's crazy. But anyway, know how to make decisions. You know? And make sure you know what your wife wants. I'm just going to say. They want ambience. They don't care about how big the food is. They just want ambience. The dark lights and the pretty music, you know, and the waiters with the thing on their hand. Amen. That's how they are. You know, make sure you know what your wife wants. Amen. Make lists because we're stupid. We forget things. Be durable. sometimes you come home from work and you're about dead and your wife is all jumping up and down. She wants to get out of the house. Amen. Be durable. Go with her. Take her. Amen. You can sleep some other time. Have firmness, but with diplomacy. Son, you're not doing this, but there is a reason. Be diplomatic about it. Explain the trouble that he could get in if he did that. Most people, that's what I said, I'm the boss, shut up. That don't work good. Explain what's going on. Son, this is what I want you to do. Have fortitude. Just keep on. You have will to be assistant. No, we're going to do it this way. You have daughters, and they put on something that you're not approve of. If they bend over and they have to do that, then they need to change. Amen. And just be perseverant. But no, honey, I don't want you to dress like that. I don't want you to dress looking like a lady of the night. I want you to dress nice and modestly. I want you to keep yourself for your husband someday. That's a good idea. Be resolved. This is where I stand. This is what I believe. I had a while back, a long time ago, something happened, and someone said, well, can't you just bend it? I said, no, this is what I believe. This is what I'm doing. If you want to do it, that's your responsibility. But I'm not doing it. I'm not going that way. Things in my life, there's so many things in my life, I've already made a decision on it. I'm 70 years old. I'm not going to change. Now, if I find something in the Bible that should be changed, I'll change it. I mean, I'll be flat out changed right there, right then. The other day, something come up, and I says, well, you know, I haven't thought about it. Why not? That sounds like a good idea. Why not? Let's do it that way. I have no problem with that. But if I have made a definite principle of the Word of God of it and say, I'll say, no, I'm resolved that. You say, well, I'm not going to go with that. Well, I'm not getting on your bus. Sorry. Go on alone. Be resolved. Be steadfast. Have tenacity. Keep at it and keep at it and keep at it. I know that when a guy's a wrestler, he has to have tenacity. He needs to keep at it. He's not going to let anybody get him down. He's going to keep at it and keep at it and fight and fight and fight and fight until the fight's over, until they blow the whistle. That's it. Have tenacity. Keep at it. Same way in your home. Have tenacity. That garage needs cleaning. Have tenacity. Just keep at it and keep at it. I almost got my garage clean. Almost. Now I got a camera. I can watch my wife so that when she's in there, I can make sure that she's okay. And now I can see everything's going on. Amen. That's a good thing. Amen. A great father will constantly try to win himself the affection of his children throughout his life by showing them his fatherly love to get them to point that they would rather be with their father than it would be any person or a friend. Work at that. Work at that, dads. Try to get the affection of your children. Try to get them to want to be with you no matter what. But I was in Elkton, South Dakota, and it was a little bigger town, and there's a lot of kids around, and my boys, they'd be out playing. And I wanted to get them away from those kids. Because some of them didn't have just the right kind of attitude about them. And so when I got done with my stuff, I would get it. I had an old beat-up pickup, half-ton Senex old pickup that had this. It was a terrible-looking thing you ever seen, but you could get to the fishing pond with it, amen. And I'd pull up beside those boys playing. I said, hey, guys, I said, you want to stay here? You want to go fishing with me? I'm going fishing. Oh, man. I wanted to win their affection constantly, constantly win their affection constantly, so that when things came to the point in their life they had to make a decision, they would use me as a counselor and say, Dad, what do you think I ought to do? His greatest desire is to influence them to be like Jesus by their everyday life, to bring glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't it astound you that when you were in your adolescence or your teen, I want you to think carefully of that. That within a few moments of all the influence of all your life that you lived under your parents' rule and the regulations at home and the hours that you spent in church and heard the Sunday school teacher teach and the pastor preach the sermons and the traveling evangelists and the visiting messengers came and preached and told the stand you ought to take and practice and policies of the church and the Bible and the invitation, the promise you made in Sunday school and youth groups and youth conferences, mission trips and Bible camps in secret when you made those professions and even in public. You know, I stand back and I'm amazed that we would let a friend of a few weeks or a day or even minutes influence us to do something bad. Just blows my mind. People that don't even matter in our life and someday will never matter in our life, we let them make a decision for us. For some, because of the so-called friends' influences, it puts us in such a severe way that our lives and our ambitions are destroyed and literally change the destiny of our whole life because we did that one stupid thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Why is it? When I was raising my three boys, I used to tell them when they were going out of the house, away from my influence, boys, it's not that I don't trust you, it's that I don't trust those that are with you that are going to try hard to influence you. I tell them many times. While I'm on the subject, I want you children and you teens to look me square in the eyes for a few minutes and listen to this very carefully. There are a lot of good parents out here that will do anything and everything they can for their children. They will try their hardest to give you more and the best than they ever had. I'm going to give you a good illustration. Samson was a good illustration that his parents did everything they could to make him happy. Yes, Samson had a responsibility. It is our God-given responsibility to do right and to follow the things of God. Yes, God has given us free will. We have a free choice. Just like he gave to your parents, just like he gave to their parents, just like he gave to their parents. And as we have all found out, life is full of choices. All choices you determine on how it's going to end up doing. You make a choice, and that choice, you know it's going to end up with something. It is your responsibility to dedicate yourself to the Lord and make the right choice. If you don't make the right choice, you're going to end up with the consequences. It'll hurt us parents terribly, but it'll hurt you more. Because you got to live with that choice. You may have the best father in the world, but if you're not willing to give him your heart, you'll be the biggest loser in this world. I've heard and read so many most godly men who ever lived on this earth, but the rest of the story is this: their children turned out to be devils. Billy Sunday, the greatest preacher ever known to mankind on the United States, son ended up to be an alcoholic. And guess who Billy Sunday was preaching against? He closed up saloons all across America, and his son ended up as an alcoholic. If you are unwilling to come under the Christian Father's leadership, if you're unwilling to give yourself to your Father, God said, this is what he said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Colossians 3:30. Children, obey your parents in the Lord in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So we as Christians, fathers, must be very careful how we live before our children. It's okay. Everybody does it. When Johnny was 6 years old, he was with his father, and he got caught speeding. His father handed the officer a $20 bill with his driver's license, and he said, it's okay. Everybody's doing it. When he was 8 years old, he was present at the family council, presided over Uncle George's on the surest ways how to save money off the income tax. It's okay, kid. His uncle said, everybody does it. At age 9, his mother took him to the theater to see his first production. The box office man couldn't find any seats until his mother discovered she had an extra $5 in her purse. It's okay, son. Everybody does it. When he was 12 years old, he broke his glasses on his way to school. Aunt Francine persuaded the insurance company that they had been stolen to collect $75. It's okay, son. Everybody does it. When he was 14 years old, Johnny and his family went out to eat, and his father said, "Tell them you're 13, so we can eat. You can eat at child's rate. It's okay, son. Everybody does it." When he was 15 years old, he made right guard on the high school football team. That his coach showed him how to block and how to grab the opposing shirt end of the shirt of the official. Said couldn't see it. "It's okay," coach said. "Everybody does it." When he was 16 years old, he took his first job at the supermarket. He was assigned to put the overripe strawberries in the bottom of the boxes and the good ones on the top. The manager said, "It's okay. Everybody does it." When he was 18 years old, Johnny's neighbor applied for a college scholarship. Johnny was a marginal student. His neighbor was the upper third of his class, but he couldn't play right guard. Johnny got the scholarship. "It's okay, son. Everybody does it." When he was 19 years old, he was approached by an upperclassman in college and offered a test. Answers for $50. "It's okay, kid," he said. "Everybody does it." Johnny was caught for cheating and sent home in disgrace. "How could you do this?" his mother said. His father said, "You never learned anything of that here at our house." The coach, the boss, the aunt, the uncle were all shocked. If there's one thing that an adult can't stand, is a kid that cheats. How's your kids doing? How's your kids? Do they watch you write out your tithe check? Do they watch you to do certain things? Do they watch you go places and go to places to eat? You see, the kids are not stupid. They watch you. And that's why we as godly Christian men, as fathers, ought to be very careful what we do. Abraham was not willing to be like any other man. He was different. He followed the Lord and left and searched for a city. Moses was another man who wanted to be different. By faith, Moses, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than to enjoy his pleasures for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of his reward. Abraham and Moses were truly men of character and faith. Oh God, and I pray this all the time, oh God, help me to finish well. Help me to finish well. Help me to finish strong. And not to bring disgrace to the greatest job you ever gave a man, and that is to be a father. I pray to God that you'd be good fathers. There are some times that you have to apologize. Sometimes you need to go to your wife and say, "You know, I haven't been a father like I should, and I'm going to try really hard." And then maybe you ought to go to your children and say, "You know, I haven't been a good daddy to you very much. I hope you forgive me. I'm going to be a better daddy for you." Being a good dad doesn't mean everything slides. Being a good dad means you take things to task. You're the responsibility. You're the head man of the home. You're the kingpin. You have to take your responsibility and take it right. And it's pretty scary. It's a great responsibility that God has placed us in, but it's a wonderful responsibility. Father, I pray you speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, as fathers, that we would give ourselves closer to you. Lord, there are so many times that people say, "Well, everybody's doing it." Well, it doesn't make it right. Well, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to do right. Help us to read our Bibles. Help us to pray. Help us pray for our children individually. Help us to beg God for the things. Help us to maybe see some things in our children that need to be helped. Some of our children are weak in certain areas, and help us to raise them up. Certain things in our children are strong. We need to have them backed it off a little bit and realize that there is a life to live and a God to serve. Lord, I pray today you'd speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. How can I be a good father or even a mother or a child? How can I be unless I'm saved? How can I know what Jesus wants me to do and I'm not his own?" If you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, not sure you're on your way to heaven, I hope that you'd pray that God would forgive your sins and ask him to come into your heart and be your Savior. You hear today and say, "Preacher, I haven't followed Lord and Believer's Baptism yet. You need to take care of that. Maybe you're here today and say, Preacher, we ought to become members of this church. You ought to take care of that. Maybe you're here today and say, you know, Preacher, that boy, everything you said about the Father, that's me. I want to serve God better. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Help us to be more like you. Lord, thank you for the opportunity of being a father. And all the responsibility that's on our shoulders is just unbelievable. Help us, Lord Jesus, to beg you to give us wisdom and strength during these days. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand on your feet. You're here today. You say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to know that. I want you to step out of that seat and walk down this aisle. I'll take you. I'll show you from the Word of God. I can know for sure you're saved. Why don't you do that now? Will you ask Jesus in your heart? You're today and say, Preacher, there's some things in my heart and my life. God's really dealing with me. I would that you pray and that God would search your heart and your life that you could serve the Lord. You're today and say, Preacher, I've been saved. I'm following Lord and Believer's Baptism. Why don't you come at this time? Father in heaven, I pray you'd be with us now, Lord. Speak to our hearts. We thank you so much for what you've given to us. Thank you for the opportunity of being a dad. Help us to be a father that loves you and is strong serving you. Dear God, give us the strength to be the father we need. Give us the wisdom that we need to be. Lord, you told us if we needed wisdom, we could ask you and you would not upbraid us. You wouldn't get after us for asking, Lord. So help us, continue. Help us grandfathers, Lord, have a great responsibility. These children are watching us. May we be encouragement to them. Lord, thank you for today. Bring us back tonight. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Amen.